Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go together into the inner place, into the holy of holies. Let's receive them.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with myself, Pastor Fran, along with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that was left behind to do greater miracles is John 14:12. But before I go on, let's invite the Holy Ghost. Even though he's with me already, he's a gentleman. He likes to be invited. So we invite the Holy Ghost this afternoon, giving him all the glory and all the honor. Thanking you, Holy Spirit. Thanking you, Jesus Christ. Jesus, we know that your word says in the book of Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything, a time to pray, a time to be quiet, a time to fear God, a time to confess and repent, a time to execute and administer justice, a time to come up against the plans of the enemy and go along with the plans of God. So we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you will give the president wisdom. You will show him the truth, and you will show him that you hate lies, because the father of lies is the devil. And we rebuke the devil right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, that all those that departed from the membership of the Trump administration and its orbit, that you, Lord Jesus, order their steps, my Lord, that they have no spirit of bitterness or resentment against our President of the United States. So we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to pray for one another, stand in agreement with your word. And we know that your word says that we are in the last days, that we have a purpose, and that your purpose is for us to do the same as you did with Moses. The same thing. It was about purpose. So, brothers and sisters that are listening and future listeners, are you ready to accomplish God's purpose, God's will? God's purpose is for us to do his will. God don't need you and don't need me, but he will be pleased and delighted that we come in agreement with his word, that we activate the power, that we activate the promises, because we know God could use anybody and anyone. God did it in his word. God used hookers, prostitutes, donkeys, animals, fish. When he gets ready to accomplish his goals, he'll use anybody. He even used Ruth in the word of God, and she didn't even know who God was. So even if you think you don't know who God is, but you have come to Blog Talk Radio to hear from the Lord, you're in the right place, because today we're going to do what God has called us to do. God wants for all his people, all his creation to awake. And to repent. We all must repent in some way or another. Surely the elections and the re-election of this president and things that he has done are God's remedial judgment upon our land because of our sins and apathy. The hour is now. The church must immediately call on Solomon assemblies. We must cry out to God in this time. We must repent for our individual sins and for the corporate sins of the church, of the nation. We must repent of all church ignorance, disobedience, self-centered indifferences, inaction, and prayerless. Father God, have mercy on your creation and on your children. Father God, we have allowed our country to be overrun by moral revolutionaries. We must pray for the president. It is our obligation to pray for him. It is an obedience to pray for him. It should not be a sacrifice. We should be delighted to pray for our president. We must also quickly learn how to pray against the initiatives of the administration, which seems to be at war with God of the Bible, his kingdom, his children, his faithful servants, and his people. We must cry out to God for mercy and beg him for his sudden, sober intervention. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for the president in spirit and in truth. Let's pray for the president in the fear of God, praying for the president's soul and his family safety, while praying against his wrongful acts will help us to avoid cursing the president in our hearts, cursing him in our mind, in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit. We should not come in agreement with the devil and curse our president. No, we should bless him. You know, some Christians hate presidents with a hatred that falls short of the perfect hatred in scripture. When we read Psalms 139 verse 21 and 24, the scriptures warn us not to curse a king, even in thought. According to Ecclesiastes 10:20, it says, we are called to bless those who persecute us and to curse not, according to Romans 12:14. While a president may not be a king, the principle still applies. Jesus did not curse King Herod or Pontius Pilate. We must maintain a dignity befitting subject, not of the devil, but of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. We must guard our hearts and the words we speak in private and in public too, and about others, especially our leaders, especially our president, even words to God in prayer. Some sincere Christians cross that line of property. Speaking about the president, they lend credibility to those who mistakenly accuse us of being hate-filled fanatics and right-wing conspirators, while passion for truth and principality are badly needed. Inappropriate words and attitudes will confuse our harder hearers and give fuel to our distractors, which is the enemy and his cohorts. Remember, bitterness and rancor will never win the day of the cause of Christ. We could read it in Proverbs 21, 23 and 24, in James chapter 1, verse 26, and James chapter 3, verse 2 and 18, Jude chapter 1, verse 9, Psalms 131, 1, 2, our attitude should be one of trembling and teaching others to tremble at God's word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, because we know that most prayers pertain to a political issue and to a political leader, often in today's evangelical churches. But we know, Lord, that our pulpits are largely to blame for not being focused on the truth, which is staying in one accord, staying in the presence of God, staying in obedience to God, staying in the will of God, which is to confess and repent of sins against America. Brothers and sisters, John the Baptist and the apostles call for specific public confession and restitution as conditions for forgiveness in keeping with the law. We read this in the book of Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1 and 5, Matthew chapter 3, verse 6 and 8. Remember, John emphasized the need of restitution. The president's seeing repentance when he said, I have sinned, but he has consistently refused to name his sins, as the word of God says in 1 Samuel chapter 50, verse 24 and 26, Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. We need to know and acknowledge that America and the church must repent too, for their complicity, for their sins, for their disobedience, for their focusing on the things of this world, not the things of God. Brothers and sisters, the word, let's execute and administer justice in our walk, in our talk. Let's not come up against God's word. Pray for the president, but against his deeds, which God hates. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one that's sinless. There's no one that's perfect. This may seem obvious to you, and maybe it's not. You may think that you're perfect and you're sinless, but let me give you a wake-up call. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. But before I go on, let's listen to a worship. Hallelujah. Could you believe, do you want to believe that one day God could say, well done, in the name of Jesus?
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes where there was a flame. Truth is that you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name. Your broken heart and your wounds and your scars. Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart, it's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. There's a light you don't notice until you're standing in the dark. And there's a strength that's growing inside your shattered heart. Whoa.
God's not done with you.
Even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars.
God's not done with you.
Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. You. He's got a plan, this is part of it. He's gonna finish what he started. He's got a plan, this is part of it. He's gonna finish what he started. He's not done. God's not done writing your story. No, he's not done. God's not done with you.
Hallelujah. He's not done with the president. He's not done with me and you. So let's pray that the president will receive wisdom from the Lord. Wisdom, says the scripture, is the principal thing. Solomon prayed for wisdom and God gave him much more. Wisdom will cause and enable the president to lead America into the right path, according to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and 11. It will preserve him from foolish and sinful behavior that will disgrace him and compromise our nation's security, according to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 through 23. It will steer him away from wickedness, according to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5 and 9. Wisdom will cause a president to fear God. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 6 and 9, and to hate evil, according to Proverbs chapter 8, 13. It will cause him to hate pride and arrogance, as he's been accused of, according to Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse 13, and chapter 9, verse 10. God-given wisdom will cause the president to conduct himself and his administration with biblical justice, righteous, sound minds, and judgment according to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 and 20. Wisdom will bring him humility according to Proverbs 15:33. Brothers and sisters, we must pray that the president will receive wisdom from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. We must pray that the president will love the truth and hate lies. You know, when we look at previous presidents, like President Clinton's own party, they would say that he is an unusual good liar. This character flaw in a president does not pertain well for peace, godliness, reverence, and truth in society. We must pray continually that God will move upon every president to keep him honest and expose his lies, according to Proverbs 40, verse 4, Proverbs 19, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, and Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14. Though Congress failed to hold the president accountable for criminal perjury, lying under oath, we know that false and misleading and evasive answers are only seen by those that have eyes that could see and those that have ears that could hear. So there are many right now in the White House that are spiritually blind, spiritually bankrupt. But we need to understand that God hates lying lips and calls us to hate and abhor the lying spirit, the lying. Because it's a spirit, it's not the person, it's a spirit that takes over the people. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, and Psalms 119, 163. You know, God in his word, he gives a terrifying warning to those who refuse to receive the love for the truth. Because many a times when we want to speak the truth, we have people that come up against us, that harass us, that call us demons, and say all kind of negative things to us because they don't want to hear the truth, which the truth is in us and the lie is in them. God is the truth and the lie is the devil, so the liars don't want to hear the truth. And we see this in 2 Thessalonians verses chapter 2, verse 8 through 12, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 through 15. So God alerts people, and he has always wanted us to pray powerful prayers, relevant prayers, strategic prayers, as in the house of God's power. We constantly encourage all that come to our fellowship to pray strategically, pray with power and authority, declare and decree, pray with belief and hope. Prayers are recorded in the scriptures are not sentimental, superficial, or otherworldly, nor are they limited to prayers of blessing, sometimes profound in their simplicity. They display knowledge of scriptures and of our current affairs. Biblical prayers engage the history of their day-to-day lives and pave the way for God's justice, judgment, mercy, salvation, revival, and reformation. Brothers and sisters, the Bible's prophets always, always, always showed us and uttered to us the compelling prophecies about prayer, about rise, about fall, about judgment. We know that regardless who the president is, prophecy will be fulfilled. The prayers of the early church produced fearless, bold preaching that turned the world upside down. We saw this in the book of Acts chapter 4, 24 through 31, and Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Those prayers would be thought too judgmental today. They might soon even be labeled hate crimes, even by church leaders and make-believers and votes, because they don't want to hear the truth. But today, political correctness in many churches will profit such scriptural prayers as today. We have this Block Talk Radio for scriptural prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, use me, Lord, as a vessel, as an instrument to deliver the president, Lord, to deliver all those that come up against him, my Lord, especially the devil, my Lord, that wants to use him as a puppet, Lord. We rebuke Satan and his cohorts. We rebuke his schemes and plans in the name of Jesus Christ. We come in agreement with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 that says, therefore, I exhort first of all that the all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for kings and all those who are in the name of Jesus Christ, who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And we go on to read Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, and we declare this in the name of Jesus Christ. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God, minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. This is the word of God according to Romans chapter 13, verse 3 and 4. Remember, brothers and sisters, that God is watching. He never goes to sleep. He sees who are righteous. He sees those that are haters and wicked. He requires us to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. And he hates when those that are in the church come up against their children, come up against the anointed. We hate the hypocrite. Because God hates the hypocrite. We hate those that follow the devil and his schemes and participate with the devil. We hate that because that's what God hates. He hates the gossiper. He hates the homosexual, not the person, but the spirit. Because it is the homosexual spirit that will have the homosexual go to hell. It is the thief that comes at night, those that steal. They're confused. Those is what God hates. He hates the thief that comes at night to steal and destroy. He hates those that give you anxiety. He says he hates the plans and the schemes of the enemy. God loves you. He came against the plans of the enemy. He hates for you to continue to lean on your own understanding. He wants you to love the truth, and the truth will set you free. He wants you to come in agreement with his plans, not the plans of the enemy. The enemy wants you to lie. The enemy wants you to live a homosexual life. The enemy wants you to be a fornicator. The enemy wants you to be a false witness. In fact, according to the word of God, not my opinion, not my writing, but the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, 23, these six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And while thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You continually show us what is it that God likes? What is it that God hates? What is it that God hates? What is it that he says in his word for us to be aware of in these last days? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has given us freedom. We have freedom in Christ. And I will close with this in the name of Jesus Christ. The word of God says in Galatians chapter 5, freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, for though the Spirit we eagerly await by faith and the righteousness of which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from one who calls you. A least yeast work through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. No one is throwing you into confusion. Whoever they may be will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why I am still being persecuted, in that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Hallelujah. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desire was contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are conflicts with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and alike. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in steps with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envy each other. In Jesus Christ's name, the word is already blessed, and we continue to bless his word. In Jesus Christ's name, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes where there was a flame. Truth is that you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name.
God's not with you.
Even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars.
God's not with you.
Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart.
God's not with you.
It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run. 'Cause God's not done. There's a light you don't notice until you're standing in the dark. And there's a strength that's growing inside your shattered heart.
God's not done with you.
Even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars.
God's not done with you.
Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're fine.
Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you right now as I'm closing this segment until next time, giving you thanks first for waking me up and calling me and choosing me and separating me and electing me to be one of your servants in these last days, giving me bonus. I thank you, Lord, and I make these supplications, praise, and intercessions and give thanks for all the people of my nation and for all the leaders of my nation, that I may live a peaceful life in godliness and in honesty according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Father God, I ask you that you save my president, Donald Trump, that you save our nation, O Lord, and send prosperity to each and every one of us according to Psalms 118:25. Father God, I ask you according to your word and according to your purpose, Lord, that you turn our leader's heart to fear you according to Proverbs 21:1. Let the Lord rule over our nation and let our nation be glad and rejoice according to Psalms 97:1. Let our nation make a joyful noise to the Lord and let the people serve him with gladness according to Psalms 110:1-2. Let the wicked be rooted out of our land, our nation, our community, our condos in the name of Jesus Christ according to Proverbs 2:22. Lord, let the poor, needy people of our nation be delivered according to Psalm 72:12-13. Let our leaders fall down before the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus, and let our nation serve him in spirit and in truth, according to Psalm 72:11. Lord, I come to you with supplication. I pray for the souls will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Lord, your comfort delights our souls, according to Psalms 94:14. Lord, I come in agreement, and I ask you that you come in agreement with me and break the power of all negative words spoken against the president, against me, against all leaders, my Lord, that are trying to seek your face in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Psalms 109:20. Lord, our soul needs your strength. We need you to strengthen us with your strength, according to Psalms 138:3. Lord, destroy all those who afflict our souls, according to Psalms 143:12, Lord. Lord, you said that you will fight our battles, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let not the enemy persecute our souls, according to Psalm 7:5. Lord, restore the soul of our president and our leaders, and those they say that they're believers but are acting like make-believers. Lord, restore their soul according to Psalms 23:3. Lord, let those who seek after our soul be ashamed and confound according to Psalms 40:14. Deliver us from all oppressors who seek after our soul, according to Psalms 54:3, Lord. Lord, I come in agreement with your word. I stand in the gap for all those who listen, all of those that will listen in the future. I stand in the gap for all leaders throughout the world that are seeking your face, that need you, that don't know that they need you, Lord. Scatter their bones and put them to shame, Lord. Let the enemy be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly, according to Psalm 66:10, Lord. Let all those incensed against you be ashamed, according to Isaiah 45:24. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we loose ourselves from the bands of the wickedness, according to Isaiah 58:6. We loose ourselves from all generational curses and hereditary spirits, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We loose ourselves from every assignment of witchcraft, sorcery, and divination, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. And we know, Lord, that we have the keys of the kingdom, and whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, according to Matthew 16:19. So thank you, Lord, that we receive multitudes, grace, and peace through the apostolic anointing, according to 2 Peter 1:2. Lord, give us peace always by all means, and be with us, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:16. Lord, do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, according to Ephesians 6:3:20. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your resurrected power. We activate that power right now. We declare and decree the blood of the Lamb over all atmosphere, all spirits surrounding us, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. And we shoot fire of the Holy Ghost against all our enemies, known and unknown. And we thank you, Lord, that we pray against the terrorism. We rebuke and bind every red edge of terror that will come against our nation in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Jeremiah chapter 49, 22. We will not be afraid of the terror by night, according to Psalms 91:5. And we thank you, Lord, that we stand on your word. We bind and rebuke the terrors of death in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, according to Psalms 55:4. And we bind, with the power and authority invested in us, all fear and panic that will come through terrorism, through witchcraft, through homosexual spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We cut the acts of violence and the wicked out of their hands, according to Isaiah 59:6. Let the assembly of violent men be exposed and cut off. Arrest their will in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we thank you, Lord, that your word is already blessed and sealed. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have already broken all curses of sickness and disease. And we command all hereditary spirits of sickness to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. And by your stripes, by the blood of Calvary, we are healed, sanctified, justified, and redeemed. Because you said in your word in Matthew 8:17 that Jesus carried our sickness and infirmities. And we stand by your word. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As your word says, that for some things we must pray with our heavenly language. And we must anoint our head with oil and remember to let our cup run over, as your word says in Psalms 23:5. So let us continue to command blessings upon our storehouses, the word of God says in Deuteronomy 28:8. And we command and we declare and decree, all nations will call us blessed, and we will be a delightful land, according to Malachi 3:12. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for tuning in. And remember, let the Holy Spirit fall on you. God bless you, President Trump, and all your family members, White House members, Democrats, and Republicans, and independents. That the Lord arrest the will of everybody in the White House, those that influence the White House, In the name of Jesus Christ, I break all curses spoken and unspoken against the President of the United States. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, give him a blood transfusion from the blood of Calvary to his blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke all sickness and disease. In the name of Jesus Christ, break all generational curses, soul ties, and spoken ties. In the name of Jesus Christ.
I seek your face here in this place. Oh.